What an honor it is to be here. What a great honor. And I'm just going to tell you, all this that's said about us is nothing. Really, if there's anything that I could say this morning, I'm going to tell you, I got up this morning, I have wept all morning because I just believe that God is going to do such a deep thing. And the simple truth is, you know, if there's anything to know about me, is I simply love the Lord with all of my heart. With all of my heart, all of my soul, and all of my mind, He is good. And what you're going to hear a little bit this morning is it's going to mirror what she's already said. I don't know how she got in my notes, but she got in my notes somehow. And I love it when God confirms His Word. But praise God for His goodness. And if you have your Bibles and if you want to read along with me, I want to read out of 1 Peter chapter 1. Such an amazing word from the Apostle Peter here. Give you just a moment, and I'll be very mindful of our time. So the Word of God says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through the faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last days." You know, and I love what he says here. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. And it's unfaded. And you know, and what he was saying is, what I want to say to you today is this message. You know, I love the deep things of God. I love reading the Greek and the Hebrews and pulling out the names. It brings so much revelation. But what I have to share with you today is very elementary. It's elementary, but I want you to know it's the simplicity of the gospel that's going to set us free. Amen? And praise God. But so what we find here is Peter is writing to Minor Asia. And in his writings, you have to understand where the people were that day and what was going on during that time. And it was a very, what I think was one of the most hardest times in Christian walk ever. It was a time that the church was being persecuted. They were under the hand of Nero. Now, if you've ever read about Nero, he was a wicked man. The things that he did to the body of Christ was horrific. Yes. For an example, he would have Christians crucified. Yes. And you know, he was the imperior of Rome, and what happened is some people think that he caused Rome to be caught on fire. They set it on fire so that he could blame Christians for what was going on. And what they would do in that day is he would have them crucified. They would get in great big arenas and they would feed them to the dogs and watch them being torn alive. And I know this is not exciting yet, but stay with me. We'll get to something good in a minute. But what happened was he would even dip them in tar and in wax, and he would set them on fire to run through his garden so that they would light up his garden. He made a skeptical of God's people. And you know, we find ourselves, and they were here in that day. And we find that 1 Peter, and Peter began to write, it was 30 years, some 30 years after the resurrection and Pentecost. So you know, on the day of Pentecost, and you know how that the sun stood still. You know, the ground began to shake, and when Jesus rose again, that everyone on the face of the earth knew that Jesus had rose from the dead. He was resurrected from the dead. And thank God for the resurrection. But what was going on in this day? It had been 30 years later. 30 years. And you know when God does a work in your life and time begins to go on, those things that God does in your life begins to fade from time to time. We're human nature. Sorrow causes us to lose reflection of what God has done in our life. And that's where they were. They were being persecuted. They had to hide in caves. And they would, I mean, just think about it, if it were today. Thank God that we don't have to face these things today in this country. But there are countries that are facing these things. It's still really happening. But just imagine if you were in that country and you were hiding for the sake of the gospel. You had to hide and just so that you wouldn't be put to death. And that's what was going on here. But see, the attack against the Christians wasn't a personal attack. Now, when you go through things in your life, you think, well, how can you not take that personal? But can I tell you, according to Scripture, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers of the air. Listen, you have an enemy just like they had in that day. See, what happened was, is the enemy wanted to silence God's people. He wanted to silence their voices. He didn't want them to be heard. And the enemy wanted to he wanted to make them destroy their faith. See, and it's not much different today. It's the same battles that you and I are facing, that the enemy wants to destroy our faith. And he wants to stop the calling of God in our life. And that's where the attack is coming from. Because if the enemy can silence you, and if he can cause you to forget about the resurrection. See, let me tell you why the resurrection is important to remember. I know as Christians and in America, we take one day a year aside and we celebrate the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. But as a minister, let me begin to tell you today that it's not a once a year celebration. My God, if you're born again and the blood is applied to your life, it's a 7 day a week, 24 hour a day resurrection. And what that means is that we always have a hope of God's goodness. Amen. That in every single thing that we go through, that He's made a way of an escape in everything. Amen. What the resurrection means to you and I is that all hell, that death and hell was defeated, and the key of the kingdom was given to you and I. You know what the keys represent? Keys represent authority. Authority over death, authority over cancer.
That's right.
Authority over pain and rejection in our life. Yeah. And you know, I couldn't help but punch Samantha during the message. And I said, look, what she's talking about is right here in my notes. Read them. You know, but too long. And I love God's confirmation, because you know what He's saying? I've got something to say to you. Yeah. I've got something to say to you. And you know, when He says it again, He says, listen, I've said it, but hear me again. I've got something to say to you. And you know the Scripture in Luke. She just read it. When the woman came in for 18 years before she come in contact with Jesus, and she come in all bent over. You know what? You and I have come to a place that we've come into the house of God, and we've walked as born again Christians way too long. Way too long. You know, we're just like the little boy in the book of Mark chapter 8 said that he dwelt among the tombs for years, for tombs. And you know what we do as born again believers? We're like, well, I went through this, I went through that. And you know, the real stories. I can tell you stories today, and I won't go there, but I can tell you stories of when I was a child, my dad tried to kill me. Literally, I have a scar from here to here to prove it. But I don't go around all of my life saying, well, this is what happened to me. Because you know why? Because the Scripture said this. One day I was standing. I come home after ministering many, many years ago. I come home from ministering, and I went to my back room, and I thought I had been there for only about 20 minutes. But when I come out, I found out it had been 3 hours. And this is what God said to me. He said He began to give me the Scriptures of Isaiah 61, which says this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, all that He might be glorified. So you know what He was saying to me? You don't have to carry that stuff anymore. Your pain is not a lifetime sentence. It's not a lifetime sentence. But the blood of Jesus sets us free. Praise God. Thank God for the Son of God that gave His life and on the third day rose again. It was one thing to give His life, but it was another when He come out of that grave, and he's alive. And what Peter was telling the church that day is that you don't only have a hope, but you have a lively hope inside of me that Jesus is still alive, praise God. And a hope that is deferred makes a body sick, but praise God that the hope that we have in that lively hope is like a tree of life according to Scripture. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We have a hope. No matter what is done in our lives, no matter what we go through, no matter what rejections we face, we have a lively hope. And that's what Peter was telling them. You know, I know that you're afraid. And listen, with good reason. My goodness, if somebody come in here and they was going to literally dip me in wax and set me on fire, I'd be a little concerned. I'm going to lie, I really would. But I can tell you, whether I live or whether I die, I'd have hope in the Word of God, and I'd have hope in Jesus. Hallelujah. He is our hope, and we have a risen Savior. And you know, and I don't come with a revelation today, but I come as a reminder. He still lives.
He still lives.
It's not a once-a-year thing for us. It's an everyday, 24 hours a day that we live and we serve our living Savior. Hallelujah. But the people that day, they were scattered and taken away from their homeland. You know, and I thought about that, and I'm thinking, you know, when we go through things, you know, it's one thing to go through something you're familiar with. But when you're out of your homeland and you fight those unfamiliar things you're not used to fighting, traumatize you. Yes. It's a different battle.
Yes.
It's a different battle.
Yes.
And so that's where they were at that day. They were facing a different battle than they'd ever experienced in their life. But I love what Peter said. He come with hope of Jesus Christ, hope of the resurrection. He said, don't forget, he's not in the grave anymore, that he has risen. And what he was saying is that when he rose again, he went to hell and he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and he made a show of the enemy openly, triumphantly, open in it. And you know, and what he was saying is because he lives, that we have hope.
Yes.
And you know what? So what? You know what he was saying? You have an eternal hope. You know, so what if we don't live but 100 years? What's 100 years compared to eternity?
Yes.
Think about that.
Yes.
You know, I've heard the people say, well, you know, and I might get in trouble by saying this, but I'm going to say it.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people say, well, you're too heavenly minded to do any earthly good. I'm not talking about me personally, but it was a saying people used to say all the time. I miss those people.
Yes.
I want to tell you, I miss people that are heavenly minded, because I want to tell you, in this life, if I had hope, just like the Word says, I'd be among men most miserable, because I thought, if this is all there is, we have no hope. But what Peter was saying, you have a greater hope in Jesus Christ, because he is resurrected from the dead. And guess what? He still lives.
Yes,
he still lives. He's still attentive to your problems. He's still attentive to what you're going through.
Yes.
And listen, you know, I think so many times we think about some of the things that we've gone through, and we think, we've all been there, haven't we?
Yes.
Have we all gone through the place where we think, well, God, where are you?
Yes.
Where's the hope in this?
Yes.
You know, I went through that several years. It's been a number of years ago. I went through that several years ago. My son had married right out of high school, and I'd prayed for 18 years. He got married at 18 years old, and I prayed for 18 years. God put the right person in his life. And boy, did he ever do that. Man, God sent her this beautiful, beautiful young lady. She had dark hair, beautiful olive skin, and I want to tell you, the most beautiful girl I've ever seen in my life to this day.
Wow.
And goodness, I thought, man, when the first time I saw her, and I thought, man, that girl's as pretty inside as she is out. She gonna have something going on.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You know, because you know how us mothers are. And I'm like, God, because I prayed.
Yes.
You know, and I
yes.
prayed. When, you know, when I pray, I don't pray, well, Lord, I hope so.
No.
See, we don't have a hope, so hope.
Yes.
But a hope is knowing that God will hear our prayers and answer.
On,
and boy, did he ever.
Yes.
Man, this girl was the most beautiful inside. She was more beautiful inside than she was out. Man, she loved Jesus. Man, I thought I loved Jesus, but this girl loved Jesus at such a young age. Everything that she did was just so godly.
Yes.
And so they moved into a home behind us, and so they lived behind us, and everywhere I went to minister, she'd go with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, whether it's homeless ministry or it's preaching, it didn't matter. She just went everywhere that I went. And we worked at the same place. We worked in the same department for a number of years. And she was just the most beautiful, amazing woman. And everybody, you know, when my son got married, I'd been on the job for 30 years. And when my son got married, they says, "You still liking that daughter-in-law?" And I said, "Oh, I don't like my daughter-in-law. I love my daughter-in-law." And somebody even said, they said, "Well, we'll see how this works out." And I thought, okay, we'll see. And when she came to work there, then that same person would tell me, said, "Yeah, now I know what you're talking about. How can you not love Victoria?" And even one lady would say, "Man, y'all remind me of Naomi and Ruth. I just see that in you." And so the most precious thing to me, at the age of 22 years old, become sick with cancer. It crumbled me. I'd always believed that God could bring me through anything.
Yeah.
And when I watched that baby suffer, she had a tumor the size of a soccer ball on her chest. She was only one of three in the entire world to ever experience this. She would have to lean over in bed just to get the weight off of her lungs to be able to breathe. I watched her the last few weeks of her life spit up blood like I'd never seen. In the last week of her life, she lost one third of her body weight. I want to tell you, I stood on the word.
Yep.
And you know, sometimes God's will don't turn out the way we think it would.
That's right.
Because I would not even let someone say, "Well, what if one of my best friends, Cindy, well, what?" I said, "Don't even go no further. I don't want to hear it. I'm just believing God." And at the age of 23 years old, in January 2007, she died. And I could remember walking the floors, and I'm like, "God, where are you?
Yeah.
Where are you in my pain? I believed you, God. Where are you?"
Yeah.
But I had a hope. A hope of a resurrected, and I'm going to tell you, there was nights my husband and I took turns walking the floors, and I was like, "God, keep my mind and don't let me lose my mind." Because I want to tell you, unless you experience that kind of pain, it's because, you know, she wasn't just my daughter. I loved her as much as I did my son.
That's right.
And when she was such a part of my life, and when we lost her, it crumbled me.
Yeah.
But there was a hope. Yeah. That rose up inside of me when I didn't feel a thing. When I didn't feel a thing, I held on to the Word of God. And can I tell you, according to Scripture, in the book of Ezekiel chapter 37, the Bible says that God brought him down to a valley that was full of dry bones. And he began to say, and listen, they were at a place that they were hopeless. They didn't feel like, man, like I felt. I didn't feel like I did not even want to get up and see them the next day. I hurt when I woke up. No, and let me tell you something else worse than that. I don't know how it happened, because I'm a born again, spirit filled person. I stayed in the Word of God, but yet I was at a place of despair. I had flashbacks of what I seen for a solid year, every day and every night. And I was like, "God, would you not take this away?" And I kept, and even when I couldn't read the Word, I'd put the Word on and listen to anointed preaching to do what I couldn't do myself. But that's the way that Israel was in the book of Ezekiel 37. They were in the valley of dry bones. And they even said unto God, "There is no hope for us. There's absolutely no hope for us. In fact," he said, our parts were cut off for our parts." Yeah. In other words, you know what they were saying? "I can't be put back together. I cannot, my parts are so gone."
Yes.
But Ezekiel began to say to the prophet,
"Yes.
Can these bones live?"
Yeah.
And he said, "Well, Lord, thou knowest." You know, God.
Yeah, you know.
And God knew, but he wanted Ezekiel to know.
Right.
Come on. And God knows that his word for you are yea and amen. His promises are yes and amen. That's what his promises are for you and I. But in that moment of time, he began to say this. He said, okay, Ezekiel. He says, I want you to begin to speak to the bones. I want you to begin to prophesy to the bones. And he began to prophesy. And the word of God says that there was a noise and a shaking, and bone came to bone, came together, bone to his bone. And there began a sound. He said, begin to prophesy to them again and speak to the four winds. And he began to prophesy again. And he said, you know, begin to breathe life inside of them, because God had promised this. He said, I'm going to open your graves. Said, we've been dwelling in the tombs of our pain way too long, way too long. And in that place, God says, prophesy to them.
Come on.
You know what he was saying? He was saying, speak the word of God over their life. Speak the word of God over your life. Come on, the word of God is truth. In fact, we read in the book of John chapter 1, it says this, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And you know, he said that in the beginning, he said nothing that was made without him. Everything, he made everything is what he was saying. And his words were truth, and they were life. They were full of truth and full of grace. And so what he was saying, if you begin to speak the word of God over your life, man, there's a word for everything you're going through this morning. There is a word that if you're sick, that in fact, let me tell you this story. Several years, it's been 31 years ago. I was, as I told you, I wasn't raised in church. And so at a very young age, at 31 years ago, I had got emphysema. And I had holes all in my lungs. And the doctor says, I'm sorry, but there's nothing I can do for you. Nothing. Nothing. No medicine will help you. There's nothing I could do. And just to give you an example of how I felt, it's like wrapping surround wrap around your face and not leaving any air. And when I breathe in, nothing would go into my lungs. I remember laying in my bed in the middle of the night, and I could feel darkness all over me. And I could hear the voice of the enemy that would say, you're going to die. You're going to die. And I felt like I was going to die. But I began, not just in my mind, but I began to speak it out loud. And I wouldn't feel a thing. And I would say, God, you said I could live and not die. God, you said that by your stripes, I am healed. God, by your stripes, I am healed. And in the middle of the night, I would do that every hour of the night. And I remember, I'll never forget it, on a Tuesday morning, I was sitting on my job. And at 10:41 in the morning, God spoke to me. And he says, I'm going to heal you. And you know what that means? You might say, okay, you know, what that meant to me is God might heal me today. Or it might be 10 years from now. I don't know, because a day is a thousand as a day. And so I begin to wait upon the Lord. And you know the scripture. I just want to encourage you with that. The word of God says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the creators of the end of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary, but he give power to the faint. And to them who has no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. So what he was saying, give it some time, and I will move. Give it some time. Because when all hell had come against me, and I had no hope, and the sentence on my life was to die. I remember being in a service out in the middle, remote nowhere, and I remember being in a small church, and we had, you know, maybe 100 people in that church, and the minister was preaching, and I had the worst day of my entire life. Literally the worst day. In fact, you know, I felt so bad I had to go outside in the middle of January, and I had to get some air because I could not breathe. And I come back in, and they were giving the altar services, surrender it all to God. And I said, God, I surrender you everything. And by the way, God, I believe that you're going to heal me. It was at that moment, my testimony, and I can tell you, I'm probably undertelling it. I don't even have the words to tell you what happened to me that night. The moment I said, God, I surrender it all to you, and I believe that you're going to heal me. That minister come up to me and laid their hand on my head, and God spoke a word to me. He said, Lord, he said, just as I blew upon the Red Sea, and that minister says, God, just like you blew upon the Red Sea. And I'm going to tell you, There was a shaking in that house, and I felt the power of God so strong on my life. Normally, I reference God, and I close my eyes when I pray, but something was going on in the spirit realm, and I opened my eyes because I wanted to see what God was doing. I opened my eyes, and I saw a black cloud literally lift off of my chest. I breathed in, and air hit my lungs for the first time in many years at that time. And can I tell you, I had the x-rays before I had prayer that night and after I had prayer, and the doctor said to me, I don't know what happened to you. I said, let me tell you about my God. And it was all because I began to prophesy to myself, and I said, God, you said I could live and not die. Can I tell you that the word of God is alive? It is God breathed. It's active and alive, and it's powerful, more sharper than any two-edged sword. And the word of God is life. Hallelujah. And if I seem a little excited, please forgive me. I can't help it. It's real inside of me. See, when you experience knocking on death's door and God raises you up and you live, my God, it brings hope inside of you. It brings alive inside of you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But it don't fade away. It doesn't fade away. My God, can I tell you, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And can I tell you that, I don't know how much time I have, but let me just share real, let me wrap it up as quickly as I can. I got sidetracked and I missed 8 pages. But let me I want to tell you this. I want to tell you, the enemy is after your faith.
Yes, he is.
He is after your faith, and he'll make you feel the pain in your life. But can I tell you, those are lies from hell. Can I tell you that the word of God says that he is a liar and the father of all lies? In other words, his lies are believable. So if you know that they're lies, don't believe them. Because if I've had people say this to me, and this is probably the most discouraging thing I ever hear as a minister. Well, the devil's been telling me this. You know what I tell them? Well, if you know it's the devil, why are you listening? Why are you listening? You know it's a lie. Come on. Then the word of God is true. Let God be true and every man be a liar. But the enemy is after your faith. He's after your faith in your life. And listen, he's after your voice. And he's after the call of God in your life. Let me sum it up as quickly as I can with Joseph. Joseph, you know, he was the last one of his father. Make it very quick. Joseph had a dream. And you know the scripture, he told his brothers the dream. You know, his father had given him a coat of many colors. You know what that coat represented? The call and assignment on his life. Yes. It represented authority, and one day he would lead.
That's right.
But his brothers hated that. Yeah. They were jealous. You know, and so he told them, he said, I dreamed we were in the field and all of our sheep were there, and your sheep bowed down to my sheep.
Yep.
Well, no wonder it made them mad, because they were carnal. They're thinking, we're the oldest, and we don't bow down to you. That's not going to happen. But can I tell you that the word of God that he speaks in your life, it's there. Yes. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot, not one tittle of his word will pass. Amen. And so he had another dream. He had another dream. He said, I had another dream. I saw the moon and the star and the 11 stars. And he said, they all bowed down to me. Well, that made them real mad. Let's kill him. Let's kill him. You know what they were trying to say? Let's kill the dream that is inside of him. You know what? And there's a difference in God's dream and our dream. If I have my dream, let me just tell you what my dream is. My dream would be to be a size 2 and eat anything I want. That's my dream. But can I tell you this? My dream doesn't benefit the kingdom of God. My dream will benefit me. In fact, my dream might take me away from where I need to be with God. But when you get a word from God, my God, that is established in the heavenlies, and God will anoint. And listen, he says he watches over his word to perform it.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
And he did for Joseph.
That's right.
Let me say this in closing. I don't know how much time I have, but let me say this in closing. Let me say this. Joseph went through some things. He went through some stuff. He got thrown in a pit. You know, the first thing they done is they stripped him of the call that was on his life, that authority.
Come on.
That coat of many colors represented the authority that the Father had placed on him, the favor of God.
Yes.
And do you know, sometimes, hear me, Sometimes favor don't always look like favor.
No, it doesn't.
And some seasons favor looks like, let me tell you what favor looks like for Joseph. It sent him to a pit. Then when he got to Potiphar's house, here he was. I'm like, okay. I can imagine how I would have felt. Man, the pit was bad, but now I see where God has called me. Mm-hmm. Now I get to be the second-hand man, and I get to minister. But no, that wasn't enough.
Right.
He began to be false accused.
Yes.
Potiphar's wife came to him. Mm-hmm. You know, and the enemy can't get you in your pain. He'll get you through temptation.
Come on.
You hear me this morning? He'll try one tactic or another. And you know, she was Potiphar's wife. Could you imagine? She had to be beautiful. He wasn't going to get no just anybody up there to be his wife.
Yes.
She had to be beautiful. That's how I see that. But the most, probably the most beautiful woman in the city says, come on, Joseph, lie with me.
Yes.
She said, nobody will know. You know what Joseph said? I love, day after day after day. And he kept saying, no.
Yes.
The final day. He says, no. She said, so nobody will know. But he says this, and that's why I love Joseph. He said, so what if nobody knows? God knows.
God knows.
God sees.
That's
hallelujah.
Right.
And I cannot do this sin before my God.
Jesus.
My God will preach. We could preach all day, but I don't have all day. So we've got to live holy before God. See, I believe that's one of the reasons that God chose Joseph, because he knew he'd keep a clean hands and a pure heart. Who shall ascend into the heavens? He that has clean hands and a pure heart.
That's right.
My God, every day I pray. Every day keep me with a clean hands and a pure heart. And some days that's a struggle.
Yes,
some days it's a struggle to keep
ma'am.
A clean heart.
Right.
When you're being persecuted.
Yes.
See, Joseph could have gotten bitter.
Yes.
But Joseph instead, he kept going and sent him. You know the story, how that she false accused to Potiphar, and they sent him into a prison. And he was forgotten in that prison.
Yeah.
For years, he was forgotten in that prison. But he stayed faithful to God.
That's right.
Faithfulness means something.
Yeah.
We've got to be steadfast in our word. We're too close to the coming of the Lord not to
be
faithful to God. So we kept being faithful to God. And one day, Potiphar had a dream, and he brought him out to tell him what the dream was. And he interpreted it. And he stood there and make a long story short, and his call was to feed a multitude. He said, this is what the dream means. He said, the first part of your dream, you are to preserve all of the food. And the second part is when you'll give it out. You know, and he stood there that day when his brothers knelt before him.
Yes.
The dream that he had from long ago. I could imagine when he was in the pit. He was like, Lord, the dream don't look like what you showed me. Surely this is not the dream you've called me to. But the day came that he knew when he stood there and he told his brothers without any bitterness and with all forgiveness in his heart. So we've got to forgive those who've done us wrong.
Yes.
See, I'll make this very quick. But my dad on his dying bed, he wouldn't have anything to do with me even as an adult. But on his deathbed, when he began to die, I'd had to take him. It was a 2.5-hour drive from the Dalton area to Emory to the doctor's office every visit and to the doctor. And he'd say, I don't know why you're doing this. He said, I'm not going to leave you anything. I said, it's okay. I don't need nothing. I'd put CDs in there. That's when we had CDs. That's how long ago it had been. And I put songs in there like, please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through.
Yes.
And I was getting a word to him one way or another.
Yes.
But can I tell you, on his deathbed, he said, I want you to pray for me. I said, what do you mean you want me to pray for you? I wanted to make sure he was clear about what he was saying.
Right.
He said, I want to pray the sinner's prayer. And I said, so you mean to tell me if God raises you up from here, that you will serve him all the days of your life? All the days of your life. He said, yes, I will serve him. So I said the sinner's prayer with my dad. And can I tell you, he never said he was sorry. He never said that. I mean, he died almost immediately after that. So that's okay. You know, and let me just say this. This is not, I didn't mean plan to tell you any of that. But let me tell you this. That our reward, the greatest reward, is not what's on this earth. Man, you can pat me on the back, and the moment you leave, that's my reward. It's gone. I'd rather have mine in heaven,
right.
You know? And when I meet my daddy again, he said, you was right all along. Thank you for all that you suffered. Can I tell you, your suffering is only for a moment, but the eternal glory of the weight of the reward is in heaven. My God, so what if we live 100 years? Let's spend eternity where it counts. Amen. The reward where it counts. And just like Joseph, he said, you meant it for my evil, but God meant it for my good. You know what he was saying? You know, and you might say this, well, I don't have pulpit ministry. Well, that's okay. Joseph didn't either. Right. He was in the food ministry. That's right. That's what he was. He was in food ministry. So we're all one body. There's no big eyes and little U's. I cannot say to my finger, I do not need you.
Yeah, that's right.
You
that's
take
right.
my finger, I'm going to cry.
Right.
You cut my fingernail off, I'm going to cry.
Yes.
I need every part of me. Right. And the body needs every part of us. It might not look like you want. Man, I'd love to trade this body for somebody else's, but this is who I am. This is where God called me, and this is where I'm going to walk. And that's what Joseph was saying. You meant it for my evil. You know what he was saying? Let me paraphrase. It was worth it all. It was worth everything. Listen, the Word of God tells us that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed within sight of you.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Whatever you go through on this earth. And that's what Peter was telling the people that day. Listen, I know you're going through a lot. I know that you're faced with a lot of different troubles, but that's not the end of your story. That's not who you are. You are a risen Savior. Because see, when I grew up, you know, the beatings that I took and the things that I went through, it defined me. It messed me up.
Yes.
Man, my poor husband, we've been married 42 years. He is a man of God.
Hallelujah.
He is a man of God. I thank God for the man that I'm married to. But can I tell you, he had to endure some things when we first got married because I didn't know Jesus when we got married. He didn't know Jesus when we got married, but he had to walk me through my healing in my life. And you know, the sad thing is, back in those days, we didn't have mentors like we have now.
Yeah.
We didn't have self-help books that'll help lead you along the way, and people didn't give their testimony.
Right.
In fact, I was married 25 years before I ever told him what I'd gone through. But there come a day that in that back room, when I spent those first 3 hours alone with God, that I just was surrendered unto Him, He began to change my life. He began to heal my life.
Come
Can
on.
I tell you, there's healing for everywhere you
there's
hurt.
Healing.
Can listen, we got to apply the Word of God. In fact, that's what the Word of God says when He was talking to Ezekiel. He said, begin to prophesy to him. Begin to speak the Word of God over your situation.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, I spoke healing over my situation and man, I had probably about 15 more minutes of message, but I'm going to skip it all and say this. In the book of Joel, chapter 2, God said this. He was talking to people who had walked away from Him, who decided that their idols were more important than God was, their Creator. But He said this, if you'll come back to me, if you will repent, He said, I will restore the years that the locusts had eaten.
Yeah.
The years! Years!
I'll restore it.
Have you ever gone through anything for years?
Yep.
Years? You know, just very briefly, let me tell you this. We're not going to have time for prayer because I'm already almost out of time, but let me say this. Back in July 1874, across the western parts of America and Canada, locusts had swarmed the United States. And the account says that they were like a foot and a half deep and 110 miles wide and 1,800 foot long. And when the locust settled, it devoured everything that it touched. Everything. See, we have an enemy of our soul. And he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. He is a devourer. In fact, Peter said this. He said to be careful. Be cautious. He said, because you have an adversary, the devil, who walk about seeking whom he may devour. And can I tell you, he don't fight fair.
He doesn't.
The enemy don't fight fair. He'll sucker punch you every time.
Every time
that you have your head turned. But I got good news for that.
Come on.
Jesus, when he went to the cross, they put a blindfold over his face. And you know the reason they done that? It's because when they begin to sucker punch him, it would. If he saw it coming, he could move his head and it would lessen the blow. But they blindfolded him. So when you get sucker punched by the enemy, know he knows where you're going, what you're going through. He suffered so that you would not have to. And the locust that day, that lady, it went year after year. It just kept festering. Every year it would come back. Every year. And They would, even the government would make them just go out and they try to smoke them out. They try to fire, you know, send fire and beat them, and they would come back every year.
Yeah.
But one day, the account says that they had an ice storm. I call it a hand of God.
Yeah.
A hand of God moved, and it froze every single one of them out. And everything that they had lost, we're living it today.
Yeah.
We're living. I could go to my refrigerator anytime, day or night, and there's food in my refrigerator.
Yeah.
There's food in my cabinets. There's more food than I could ever imagine to eat in my house. All because God put his hand on it and he destroyed the locust. That's what he's saying to you today. I will restore the years that the locust has eaten in your life.
My God.
How does he do that? I don't know. But I can tell you I'm a testament of it. The first 16 years of my life, all I heard was, I hate you. I wished you would die and literally tried to be killed by my own daddy. But when God set me free and delivered me, I've spent a lifetime. I've got more years on the other side of my deliverance than I do in front of me. How he did it, I can tell you how he did it. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And all it took was surrender on my part.
Yeah.
It didn't go away overnight.
Yeah.
But can I tell you, it went away.
Yeah.
And when I tell my testimony, I can honestly tell you this. I feel like I'm telling somebody else's story. I have no emotions. I mean, I don't even cry about it anymore. I feel like I'm telling something I've read because I have no emotions. That's the healing that God wants to do. He wants to restore the years that the enemy has stolen in your life. What about it today?
Yes.
Do you have years that the enemy has stolen? We're out of time, but I'd like to pray for you corporately.
Yeah,
would you stand?
Yeah.
Would you stand and let me pray for you? Would you lift your hands like I did that night 31 years ago in that service? And I said, God, and I believe that you're going to heal me. Would you lift your hands and say, God, I surrender it to you. And I believe you to restore the years that the locust has eaten. He'll do it today. He'll do it in a moment of time. And all you've got to do is walk it out from this day forth. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I just praise you for your word. I thank you for your goodness, God. You're better than life, God. And no wonder, God, Lord, the psalmist says that your word is sweet as honey to my lips, God, because your words are truth and they are life. And Lord, we know that you're here today. And you're here, Father, to touch every area of every person in their life, God. Lord, restore the relationships that the enemy has devoured in this room, God. Restore the health that the enemy has devoured today. God, would you restore, God, the peace of mind in every heart. And God, would you restore the joy of every woman's salvation, God. God, I pray, God, that this day that you put a leap in their step, God. God, I pray, God, Lord, instead of being bent over, Lord, for years and years after years, Lord, that this would be the day, Lord, that you turn their mourning into dancing, God. Let this be the day, God, that they say, I had an encounter with you. Then, Lord, that they would even forget, Lord, my name, but they would remember the moment that you touched and changed their life and you gave them a lively hope, a hope that is alive and a hope that it will take them into eternity one day, God. Lord, we believe you for it, God. Lord, touch every heart, every individual, God. God, by your Holy Spirit, let the warmth of your Holy Spirit touch every heart, every spirit man. Let it drive out every lie that's been told to them. Let them forget even the things that are spoken in their life, God. And God, I praise you for it, God. Let this be the day, Lord, that you be glorified, that they no longer talk about what they've been through unless it's to glorify you, but they begin to talk about your goodness. And the moment that you deliver them, God, and set them free, Lord, we praise you for your Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.